Hello everyone, welcome to Sandow Podcast 53. Today we'll be doing a reaction to Digging in the Sand episodes 3 and 4, which just released a few days ago. It'll be a reaction plus commentary today. I do not represent the Sandbox Game or the Sandbox DAO Foundation. I am not your legal or financial advisor, and nothing I say is to be taken as legal or financial advice. When I say the word SIP, I mean Sandbox Improvement Proposal. When I say the word DAO, I mean Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And when I say SandFam, I'm referring to the Sandbox community, those who participate in the people, product, and purpose of the Sandbox ecosystem. That ecosystem I explained in Sandow Episode 31, everywhere from game makers to the Sandbox team, from the game client to the DAO, to the white paper, and all of the things that Sebastian, Arthur, and Yat discuss, all that coming together to form the ecosystem. And today's episode is squarely centered on the episodes that the Sandbox team, specifically in the DAO, put out, which was Digging in the Sand episodes 3 and 4. Scoreboard, there are still two SIPs open for voting, 6, 16, and 17. Please go vote. They did make quorum. Awesome. Thank you. And I'll be doing a read-through and or an interview with SIP 17 author if we can schedule a time. And then SIP 19, which is going to be the Sandow podcast, the one you're listening to right now, and the as-yet-unnamed SIP, probably SIP 18, is going to be called Team Selection for User-Generated Platform Development, where we get to choose between the two proposers for the RFP. We're still at 9 SIPs approved, 6 SIPs not approved, and all of them were not approved because of quorum. So it's pretty exciting to hear quorum is working with the delegate system. So we're still at 15.5 million budget, although we're due to get a new 15.5 million budget in January, having spent 15% of that, or 2.3 million sand. Dowbase.ai, we're still at 211,000 token holders, 2,200 voters, having casted 9,200 votes. My name is Lanzer. I am the podcast host for Sandow, also president of the Metaworlds Group, where we have published two experiences, Floor Droppers and Lava Defense. Floor Droppers is currently in Alpha Season 4. And we are also SIP authors and DAO participants. This all began May 28th, when the Sandbox DAO was released via Medium article and also announced at NFC Lisbon. From there, we got a number of SIPs to vote on, number of town halls, AMAs, all culminating in October 14th when the new communications manager, Kunta, was announced. He immediately set to increasing the transparency and repairing relationships, starting with the Digging in the Sand podcast episode a month later, November 17th. I covered that episode 50. And I covered the communications manager, his announcement, episode 32. Then came the second Digging in the Sand podcast episode, which was about progressive decentralization. I covered that in episode 52. And today's episode is December 17th and 20th, which was the third and fourth episodes. Third episode being about the official delegates and their introductions, and the fourth being a continuation of community concerns being discussed. This is the Digging in the Sand podcast, official Sandbox DAO podcast with Kunta. If you are not subscribed, please go do that. He is really doing the sort of stuff that a lot of the community is very happy with, and we're very, very excited to have him. So some context that I'd explained on episode 50 was the DAO Medium article. You can look at episode 33 for that. Birth of the Sandbox DAO, which I cover, is it a conspiracy? Probably not. And go through all of the, was it transparent? Was it excessive? Was it urgent? That was episode 31. And then episode 32 was the reaction to Kunta's bringing on the Sandbox DAO team. And then the new SIP submission guidelines was episode 35. And Digging in the Sand, episode 1 reaction was episode 50, and then Digging in the Sand episode 2 reaction was Sandow episode 52. So today is on December 19th episode 3 and December 20th episode 4. Today is December 21st, so just a day later. So let's start with episode 3. It was a very short, brief introduction to all the delegates. So our, here on Sandow Podcast, we introduced and interviewed 10 of the 12 delegates, and we did it in long form. So most of them were an hour long. Some of them were by text, so it was closer to half an hour. But we interviewed most of them, and we asked them questions like, what's your background? What's your SandFam history? How do you vote? What SIFs do you support? What SIFs do you not support? And were you? Do you have any special agreements with the Sandbox DAO that would cause you to vote a certain way? Turns out none of them do. And this is pretty much a hands-free delegation of 2 million voting power to each delegate, and they get to vote how they see fit. In accordance with the code of conduct that they've agreed to abide by. So that was episode 3. I won't go into it too much because some of it is a very shorthand version, like 2 to 3 minutes per delegate. But the thing I wanted to touch on here was that they gave 3 shout-outs to Sandow Podcast, and I just want to go through them here pretty quick. It won't take very long. And spoiler alert is I was just blown away. I was blown away that they mentioned Sandow Podcast. But here are the references in episode 3 where they just go through each delegate. Each one gets about a minute, 2 minute pre-recorded video shown about what they want to accomplish. So here's the first mention in the very beginning.
So today, you're going to meet some of those verified delegates that I mentioned. These are the SandFam that our DAO admin team has vetted. They all have at least 2 million votes as their VP. So you can find these delegates, like I said, sandboxdao.com/delegation. The best ways to learn more about them is on their socials, is on the DAO forums, which is forum.sandboxdao.com. Or Lanzer has dropped a podcast interviewing all of them in depth. So maybe you'll watch this video and you'll narrow it down to 2 or 3 people and you'll go watch those longer videos from Lanzer.
So that was the first one. And the second one, Secret Meow, during his brief introduction, mentioned Sandow as well.
For SIPs, it is really simple. My main goal is to support proposals that improve tools and enhance the player experience. I am less supportive of SIPs that do not help the platform grow or that are not a priority at the moment. So if you want to know more about me, do check out the interview with Lanzer. And if you want to...
And the third one, Kunta mentioned Sandow Podcast again at the end of the video.
One of the best ways to learn more about them is probably on their socials. Another is in the DAO forums, forum.sandboxdao.com, or on Lanzer's podcast. Like I mentioned earlier, he did an hour-long deep dive with each of the delegates.
So to say I'm blown away is an understatement. The relationship between myself and the DAO admin team wasn't always positive and spectacular. As some of you may know, I was very critical of the DAO admin team for what I perceived to be a lack of transparency, a lack of a number of things. Since Kunta has arrived, he has done wonders in repairing those relationships, particularly between myself and the DAO admin team, to the point where I issued that public apology back to Cyril for being so intense and harsh, and I think we've since buried the hatchet on that. So nothing but moving forward to me in my view. And each episode Kunta does, he continually peels back the onion and asks the hard questions and doesn't shy away from the reality of what SandFam really thinks about the DAO and Sandow about the DAO and the DAO admin team. So That is just so cool. I couldn't believe when I listened to this episode that they gave Sandow and myself a shout out that, yes, this 23-minute video does contain, I think, 10 or 11 of the 12 delegates, and they're short 1 to 2 minute video introductions of each person. And while you're listening, if you want to narrow down to a few of them that you really want to know more about them, then you can go to Lanzer's podcast, this podcast you're listening to right now, Sandow, and then listen to the hour-long long form that I did with each of them. I did 10 of the 12 in the span of a week, and it took a lot of coordinating, and it was just really, really special and humbling for the communications manager to what felt like honoring the work that I've done and that the delegates did with the Sandow podcast and communicating with them and hearing their thoughts and the way they want to approach voting. So I just could not believe it and was so honored, and I feel very humbled that feels like synergy to me. I think I even put down the comment down here. Right. I said, I really think it's cool that he did the short videos, the short enticing videos, and then called people to go view my videos to see the longer form to learn more about them. And to me, that's harmony. That's cohesion. That's the sort of thing that really is just, it's repairing relationships. It's honoring other people in the DAO and their contributions. And I just felt very grateful. So thank you again, Kunta, for making that decision. And it's not just me you're honoring. You've honored many other people as well and given shout outs to others. So I really, really appreciated that. And it was very special to me. So that's all I wanted to say about episode 3. The rest of the episode was about each of the delegates introducing themselves. Again, if you've seen any of the long form that I did, it's a longer version of that. But they did pre-recorded videos specifically for this episode. So there are a few things that are different, but each one introduces themselves 1 minute, 2 minutes. And I heard a lot of the same similar things I heard them talk about on Sandow Podcast. Okay, so let's get to the other one, the real big one that this episode's about, which is episode 4. It is a continuation of Cyril and Kunta discussing community concerns. And for that, this episode, I'm going to break open a nice bottle of Apothic Red, which is a winemaker's blend. It's supposed to be a rich and smooth. So I'm going to enjoy a nice little glass of red while we go through this. It's another short one, 20 minutes. So I got my comments to be down to something concise, and so that we can just kind of move through it. And yeah, it was another positive step forward in transparency. I really, really enjoyed listening to Cyril explain his thought process behind everything. And I'm just grateful to Kunta for engaging Cyril and having him explain his thought process. And I have great respect for Cyril having the courage to be vulnerable with the community and explain that this is what I was thinking at the time. I get that it might not have made sense now, but it made sense at the time, and it was well thought out. Like, I get it. I get it. Not all plans go the way you expect. So all that did was just give me understanding and sympathy and wanting to protect the DAO and protect the admin team now. Not from the community, but just because I understand where they're coming from. And they're humans, they're people just like us. So it's 27 minutes. I'm going to put it on 1.5. And we're gonna step through this. It's an awesome episode. If you want to listen to it at length, just uninterrupted, I recommend you go to the Sandbox DAO YouTube channel and listen to it there.
All right, Sand fam, what's up? We're going to jump right into the fun as usual with some ho-ho-hos and some Merry Christmas fun. Cue the pixelated elves. I've got Cyril with me again, and today we're going to just do some updates, reminders, and the last few community concerns we're going to address with you guys, just kind of like carrying on from episodes 1 and 2 as we move forward into the holiday season here with episode 4 of the Digging in the Sand podcast. We're digging every week and we're going to keep it up for y'all. So
I think it's awesome that you're digging every week. And I'm, yeah, just keep going, Kunta. Keep going.
With that, you know, some of our last episode, this is probably our last episode for 2024 together. So, right, with that note, I mean, it's probably a good time to give you guys some updates on what we've been up to, some reminders of other things that are ongoing. So I got a couple of bullets of things we want to mention to you guys, maybe some successes, some challenges we've come across over the last, what has it been, since May?
Yeah, May the 20th, right? The opening.
And we're recording right now on December 12th. So it's been a long year and we've done a lot. Let's see. I mean, we'll start at the top. We've got 12K on Snapshot now. So there's 12,000 people with voting potential. The goal was what?
The goal was 1,000. It was 1,000 on Snapshot, 1,000 on Twitter, and 1,000 on the forum.
Awesome. And Twitter is up to 2,300 followers, so yep, more than twice the goal.
I'm not quite sure what the difference is there, because I need to investigate that a little further, because I track how many people are in the DAO, and per DAObase.ai, there's 211,000 token holders and 2,200 voters. So I'm not really sure exactly where they're getting the 12,000. I'm going to have to try and figure that part out and understand what the difference is. Maybe that's the number of token holders when they do the snapshot for the vote. Unsure. But the fact that 1,000 was the goal, man, they blew that out of the water almost instantly. And especially how Cyril and the DAO admin team connected with Alpha Season 4, they really beefed up those numbers when they made it part of the reward system, where you got, like, I think 100 experience points toward Alpha Season 4 when you joined the DAO. So brilliant move, and it really increased our participation.
All organic, you know, so that's the way we want to keep it. 800 on the forum, so a little bit shy of the goal there. Yeah. You know, we want to get more people participating in the communication.
And you can already tell how many more people are participating in communications. I'm on the forum constantly, and my recommendation, if you're wondering how I'm on the forums all the time, I have an app called Discourse. So the Discourse actually has an app you can connect to the Sandbox.DAO forums. So I recommend you do that if you want to stay more engaged. That's how I do it.
That's really one of the challenges, the community concerns that would be addressed today too, is just low participation. Yeah. But just some other goals that were met were delegations in place now. That's awesome, right? So we should be reaching quorum. The next vote.
That is so awesome.
Votes goes, let's see, we've just opened yesterday. Yeah, yesterday, yeah, we just opened 2 weeks. Some votes. Yeah. So they'll be open for 2 weeks on the two SIFs that are out there now. So we're on our way towards reaching quorum pretty effectively with this batch. Hopefully that'll be the case. So if anybody's interested more in delegation, it's sandboxdao.com/delegation, where you can find our 12 verified delegates. And there's a video here on YouTube, 6-minute quick video on how you could delegate your voting power. That's an excellent segue to the quick reminder for anybody listening. If you hold sand, you hold land, you're already a member of the DAO. So you can leverage that VP yourself, or you could delegate your voting power to one of our verified delegates without handing over any of your assets, or just...
I like the way Kunter explains that. If you're holding land, if you're holding sand, you're already a DAO member. So earlier when I talked about the ecosystem, those people there on the left, the green, the gamers, game makers, voxel artists, landowners, sand holders, DAO delegates, participants, sandbox team. I think that includes everyone in SandFam. So landowners and sand holders, they are the token holders who... One land equals 4,500 voting power. One sand equals one voting power. So there's clearly an incentive to hold land, and it's an NFT that you have in your wallet. And for every one land, you have 4,500 voting power. So that's what he means by you're already part of the DAO, because having those tokens allows you to vote in the DAO automatically.
Just handing over the voting power of them. So watch that quick video on delegation here on YouTube. What else? In the last, since May, community sentiment has certainly changed.
Oh my gosh, has it changed, Kunta? And you were a major part of that. And it's not to say that Cyril didn't try. I know he did. He really did try, especially when he started putting out the biweekly updates on the announcement page. That did help. I started noticing a change there. And also I saw him give some personal anecdotes for stories that he encountered as he was the DAO admin, the DAO administrator. And to me, that was a good faith step toward helping us understand where his mind was, whereas before I had zero knowledge on that. Bobby came in and just took that to the next level, bringing Cyril on for multiple podcast episodes. The most impressive thing, in my opinion, was when he screen shared the poll results, and you just saw, like, DAO admin team's not listening to me. I don't feel heard. There's no transparency. It was rushed and blah, 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 blah. It was just rough. But they showed that with a straight face and they tackled it head on. And that earned my respect. That earned my respect. You don't mess around with what should have been or what could have been. You deal with what is. In the DAO where we are, a community. And that's exactly what Kunta and Cyril did. They asked the hard question, like, what is it the community is saying? And they listened. And the community told them exactly what we thought. And they're like, okay, some improvement, some growth areas. That's the best I could have hoped for right there. That's what I wanted to hear the day after the DAO was announced. I understand from Cyril from episode, Digging in the Sand episode one, why it wasn't the case like that, why they believed that it was going to be a bigger bang to announce it all at once. But it didn't go that way because they didn't anticipate the reaction from SandFan. Completely understand. I completely understand. I'm a program manager myself in real life, in my professional life. And things don't always go the way you plan. So you adapt and you do better and you fail fast and you fail forward and you keep on iterating on success. That's the name of the game. And that's what I see Cyril doing here. And these continued engagements, we're on now episode 4, 3 of them for Digging in the Sand, was Cyril explaining his rationale and his thoughts. The more I see Cyril explain himself, the more confidence, faith, and trust I have in his role and the rest of the DAO admin team. So, as far as I'm concerned, as Kunta, as the communications manager, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Great job.
Yeah, definitely. I see too. I mean, the very first interactions we had with what the hell you guys are doing, what this DAO about, and how this works.
That's exactly right. What the hell are you guys doing? What is this all about?
Works. And now I think the conversation is moving more towards, okay, well, I think we've understood how it works and we've acknowledged the mistakes we've made and we're trying to fix them. And now the conversation is shifting more towards the SIPs. And that's the whole reason of existence of a DAO is just to process SIPs.
Yep. I completely agree with you, Cyril. This conversation is shifting away from what the is this to, okay, now that we kind of understand what's going on and we understand the DAO admin team really is on our side and I don't have to be suspicious of their motives, now I can focus on let's build better SIPs. Let's build a better ecosystem. Let's get those SIPs that we need to improve the ecosystem of the sandbox game that we all love, whether it be the Vox Edit, the Game Maker, the client, the launcher, the land, Sand Token itself, whatever it might be. Now the DAO community, I feel like the sentiment has changed to where we're unlocked and focused on the ecosystem, not just is our DAO built on a house of cards managed by a DAO admin team that is run amok. That's clearly not the case anymore. Because of the way Cyril is let us in on his inner thoughts, and Kunta has opened that door in a way that's responsible. So fabulous. Great job.
SIPs, right? So I'm very glad to see that transition happening as well.
Yeah, agreed. It was a bumpy start, and I feel like since I joined the team a few months ago, we've increased the team's collective strengths and well-roundedness to be able to more candidly, openly, transparently, even just effectively address the community. So the return on that is people's sentiment improving and the focus turning more towards the quality of the SIPs, the quantity of the SIPs. And I mean, if we're a factory or a production line, I mean, that's what we're supposed to be pumping out, right? Yep. Pushing out high quality SIPs.
The SIP factory. That's
so that's that.
I completely agree.
That's what 2025 is going to be about, the shift into expanding the DAO, the turning away from, shifting focus, I'll say, from improving relationships and reestablishing and strengthening trust to building that SIP factory and bringing more people into the assembly line. So also the team efficiency has really changed. We are more efficient, more effective than we were 6 months ago.
Right. So we've done a retrospective earlier today. I think it's also interesting to share that with the community.
Interesting thing that he says retrospective. I guess I'm not surprised at all that he said retrospective because he said he was a product manager before. Retrospective is done in agile development. So you have your product, your backlog, which is what you need to do. You do your backlog through sprints. And at the end of your sprints, you do a retrospective. The retrospective is basically a look back on what you did to try and, okay, we did well here. We didn't do well here. So you make those observations and then you iterate on that success and you try to improve those failures to do better the next time you do a sprint. And that's basically agile. You just keep going round and round and round and round and round.
Community, when we looked at all of our success and failure and what we could do better for next year. So we've done that full exercise. So we found a few things that we've done well. I think you started to touch on that. Delivered delegation. We just delivered the bloody DAO, by the way, just acknowledging that.
And now that I understand just how much went into this DAO, that is a big acknowledgement. Yeah.
And also all the stuff that we think went wrong and the stuff that we could do better, like for example, engaging, you know, with the Sandbox ambassador, engaging, you know, with different departments on the Sandbox. We know the seat that we're targeting platform changes were quite challenged by the team at the Sandbox as well, for good reason, right? So we need to find a way to make that work.
That right there is telling me I need to look in between the lines there. So it's not just that the DAO admin team and the Sandbox game company are working hand in hand on everything. What that's saying to me is that actually there is a little bit of friction there. There is a little bit of tension between the DAO admin team and the Sandbox game team, which is actually very helpful to know, because it means that when I ask something of the DAO admin team, me, Lanzer, I know that it doesn't just happen right away, because they're not all kumbaya. There has to be some sort of realistic approach. And they got into this in episode 2, where they started talking about how some of the SIPs, like mine right now, SIP 16, introducing a filter into the in-game adds to the product backlog of the product team for the Sandbox game company. Well, they already have a backlog, so what the heck are they supposed to do with our backlog in the DAO? And navigating that tells me that, okay, I need to equip the DAO admin team as much as possible so that they have the firepower, the ammunition, the rationale they need to find a compromise or an accommodation or an arrangement with the product team at the Sandbox DAO game company to do the thing that the DAO sipped into existence with a yes vote. That also tells me that maybe I need to make sure my expectations are realistic and that not everything is going to go the way we thought after a SIP is yes voted. Because the product team gets a vote too, the one who has to do this stuff. They're not the DAO. They're the game company. The DAO is the voice of the community. It helps move puzzle pieces into place, whereas before we had no idea. We had no idea this stuff was going on. But now that with this education comes the power and the ability to take responsibility, me, myself, as a community member, to know that I need to go the extra mile in explaining this rationale so that the DAO admin team can carry that forward to the product team and have the best chance of success to find an arrangement versus there being a conflict because the product team believes that whatever it is that we're trying to do is too much and it's a good idea fairy and that doesn't really help the ecosystem. So the little stuff like this is exactly what we mean by transparency and SandFam. Knowing this helps us help the DAO admin team more so than if we didn't
work somehow between the community, us, and the Sandbox proper as well. So there's a lot of stuff for us to improve, and we're constantly trying to do that. When I will share next Monday the update on all of the project, you will see like a list of all of the stuff we're going on with our advancements, and you will be able to track, you know, how we're doing to fix things up and to improve the DAO. I mean, we've published new guidelines as well. It's also one of the things we did to be more efficient. Because now with the new guidelines, it has two objectives. One, we think it's going to increase the quality in SIP, the quality of SIP, the quality they've been written, like it answers the questions for us just by going through the process. And also for us, now we receive SIPs automatically. They're sorted in a particular way. It's more easy for us to pick up the SIP and just finish the curation, finish the last part with the author. All of that was possible because of these new guidelines as well. So because we're such a small team, you know, 5 people, I think we're now getting into a place where we're getting very efficient. And it's, I think saying they took us 6 months is fine. I think it's standard in the industry. You know,
I agree. It is standard. I lead a couple product teams myself, product management. All right, I'm a program manager, which means multiple projects. And then one of my program management positions is a portfolio manager, which means multiple programs. So 6 months is pretty standard. Anything over, I'd say, a million dollar product takes multiple months to do, because you're talking about almost a dozen stakeholders, processes for approval, development cycle, fielding and sustainment cycles, R&Ds, production, manufacturing, it takes a while. So 6 months seems realistic to me, just like Cyril just mentioned.
You create an entirely new team where nobody know each other really well or used to work with each other before. It takes 6 months to really get into a place when we are transforming ourselves into a machine where we just go. And I think I'm proud of what we achieved together, you know, frankly.
So, yeah.
I agree. I am too.
We spend 2 hours with the team before to reflect on that.
A quick glimpse behind the scenes for anybody listening. You know, our meetings are very efficient and effective, and we have established some nice clear routines on getting things done and sharing information between each other, to trying to do more with the same resources or even less in some cases, working across time zones with a nearly global team. You know, we've dialed in our tools, the software that we're using to, you know, still a few things.
The only thing that I would note there is that sometimes the DAO admin team seems too efficient. I know they have the ability to use the operations budget. I'm going to show you what that looks like. So if you go to Sandbox DAO's website, yeah, and then you go to the dashboard, if you scroll down, you'll see the allocation per category. The operations budget, 1.8 million sand. 1.8 million sand right here. This is the DAO's day-to-day operations, which is paying the team, the technical maintenance, SAN rewards. The DAO admin team has made clear that they have pre-approval to spend that full budget. And right now, it looks like they have a little over half, 64%. Sometimes it seems like they are overly cautious of utilizing that budget, which to me is a good thing. That means that they are conscious of their responsibility to be good stewards of that budget and not overspend. On the flip side, now that I understand what problems they're going through to get to where they are, I don't think I would be mad if Cyril were to loosen up a little bit more on those restrictions and start spending the money to produce results. Those results are faster SIPs and more timely payments and faster project completion of his backlog. He shares it. And so his backlog is enormous. He's been working on delegations. He's been working on APIs. He's been working on hiring new people. Like all these things Cyril is doing. Clearly, he's putting in a lot of work. Could he be doing these things faster with a little bit more money if he were spending a little bit more money? I would not be angry if he did. Because now that I understand where his head's at, I have faith and trust that he's going to use those resources responsibly. Just my opinion.
Things we could tweak that we hit on in our meeting earlier. The team dynamics are just great. I mean, like, it's the best teams are the ones that really enjoy each other's company. And that can certainly be said for what's going on here. So
there's an old adage. People quit their bosses. They don't quit the company. So when your people are leaving you, look first to yourself. If you're the leader, if you're the boss. Look first to yourself, then look to whatever else it is. So people who like each other and are cohesive together, they're effective teams.
So that's great. Now, the SIP guidelines that Cyril was referring to, that's sandboxdao.com/guidelines. And that's just outlining the standards, the submission, best practices for drafting a SIP and what that process looks like. Also to that end, we will be hosting a monthly SIP workshop. So we're kind of just...
That's so awesome. I would even volunteer to help with that because I've done 6 SIPs at this point that I've submitted. I've gone through the ringer. I've gone through just about every sort of reaction I could get out of the DAO admin team, good and bad. So I think I could help with that.
Q&A, where we address frequently asked questions. We run through examples on how to develop a SIP. We'll be doing those every month starting in January. So, you know, keep an eye out for those. Also on the SIP thought, I know another little teaser here. This should be coming out maybe a week or so before Christmas. On Christmas, the SIPs that are currently in discussion will be going to vote and new SIPs will be coming up for discussion. You can expect that kind of 2-week cycle where every 2 weeks there'll be 2 SIPs up for vote and 2 SIPs in discussion. And then they just keep cycling through those.
At first, I was really angry with that 2 SIPs because it felt like it was prohibitive. Now I see the wisdom. I see the wisdom in that consistency, that pattern. It makes it easy to plan my schedule around. So like if I have to take a vacation, well, not have to. If I have to take a work trip, which is much more likely, I take a lot of work trips. If I have to take some time off or if I have an appointment, I know now how to plan because of this 2-week cycle.
So on the 25th, on Christmas, we will be bringing down the chimney for everybody. Hey, wow, look at that. I just blurred out. Do you see that on your screen? Wow, yeah, I just disappeared and faded back in. I went ghost on y'all. I promise I won't ghost y'all. I'm here for the long run.
Chimney.
Good, Kunta. Good. Me too. I am as well. And I think Cyril is too. I haven't heard what Cyril's long-term plans are, but I'm happy. The more I learn about him, the more I hear him speak and hear him speak to us as our DAO administrator, the more I have faith and trust in his abilities, and the more I want him to stay, the longer I want him to stay.
Yeah, I went through the chimney.
Mentioned the chimney and you disappeared.
Well, what we're going to try to deliver, you know, if all of the reindeer get in line here on the 25th, there will be a community focused SIP that that our team, the admin team, has been working on collectively with a well known member of the community who you guys will all recognize, and I think everybody's going to love where we're going with that. So just
by the time you see this episode, I wouldn't be surprised if you already know this. So we just finished episode 5. We recorded episode 5. It was between myself, Dr. Metaverso, and Batman, and Kunta, and we just let it have it. Like, the questions were, what were your reservations? Let's get it out in the open, and we did. We let it have it. But in that, Kunta also revealed that I had been, so when they say that well-known community manager, I wouldn't exactly call myself well-known, but I am the person they're referring to. I was brought in on a SIP that Kunta and the team were putting together called the Community Council SIP. Kunta explains that in episode 5, so I don't think I'm really revealing anything crazy here. But it is a community council SIP that elects community council members to a role that is more of a direct link to the special council advisory board and all that sort of stuff. I helped strengthen some of the language around disclosure rules to make sure that people are on the up and up. Make sure they are holding themselves to the highest ethical standard, and then also some other generic comments that strengthen the proposal to make it ready. So that's me. They're talking about me. And I was surprised. I was only brought in on that like 2-3 weeks ago. But ever since then, you know, I did my review, my comments, that sort of thing. And I agree that I would love to be a co-author of that. It to me represents the step forward we need to bring in community members to link to leadership in the DAO, and this is the way we do that. So I'm super excited. I'm so excited for that. I will be seeking a role in that on that council. But I didn't really have much more time than anyone else did, and I certainly, beyond my involvement here on the podcast, I don't feel any more qualified than anyone else. So I would just love for that SIP to go through so that we can improve our community involvement in the DAO. But yeah, they're talking about me. I'm the person that helped them with this, but they brought me in about 2-3 weeks ago as of the date of December 21st.
Just a little teaser. We're listening.
I'm excited about this one for sure, because I think it's the first time. Is either we got two types of SIP or three types. The SIP that were entirely done by the community, a couple of SIPs we've done ourselves, like the constitutional one, et cetera, and the SIP that were done by the sandbox. Mm-hmm. That's actually the first time we have a SIP that is done in collaboration between the admin team and the community with this famous community member.
And I just, I felt so humbled right there where Cyril, you know, said famous community member. The only reason I'm famous is because I'm involved. I'm talking and replying to everything. And that's not because I feel special. It's just because I'm excited to be in the DAO. I'm excited to be participating. I'm excited to be here to contribute. And so people think of me as famous. I don't know. It makes me feel guilty. But in the end, I'm humbled that they thought to include me and ask me for my review, because my relationship with the DAO admin team wasn't always positive. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that sometimes it was a little bit strained, combative, where I did not appreciate some of the comments they gave me in my SIP. It felt like too intrusive. It felt too excessive. And so eventually we worked it out. We are working it out now. But here I can, now that I understand like that mutual respect, I feel their respect. And my respect extends to Cyril and Kunta as well.
And that's, I'm very excited about that, because I think going hand in hand show how far we've come in our interaction with the community and the way we now are able to work and collaborate together. So I'm very excited about this one. I hope this will be well received by the community and supported. And I hope people would get excited and you know, pay attention.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Great.
You're right. It definitely speaks to the successes of things and to how we're going to be more effective in the future. You know, as we start to try to grow the DAO, bring in hundreds of more sand and land holders, having a positive place for them to call home, where they see constructive collaboration and, you know, and healthy arguments. Oh, this is a place for debates, right? I mean, this is the place to debate ideas. It just needs to be done you know, with understanding that we're all working towards a shared common goal. And I think that's something that has evolved over the last few months. People do see that now, that we're all on the same team. So that's awesome.
We're all on the same team. Exactly right. We can disagree. We can get heated with each other. We can sometimes, you know, think ill of each other, but we're on the same team. We're working toward the same positive growth of our ecosystem.
Awesome. What else? We're on updates. We got a budget SIP incoming.
Yeah. You know, we on an annual donation from the Sandbox. So next month will be our second. This will be the first time we'll get a full allowance for a full team. We've got our first allowance was prorated for this year. We haven't spent a lot, to be honest.
No, they have not spent a lot at all. And I showed you all what that would look like with the checkbook, where we only have been spending how many? I think it was 2.5 million of 15 million. 15.5 million, right? So we spent 15% of our budget so far. That's what he's referring to when we haven't spent a lot.
We, again, hoping to do better, but we are counting on the community to make proposals and we'll do our best to process those proposals as fast as we can. But that being said, there will be a SIP that is basically accepting the money that the Sandbox is going to give us with a different budget structure. Not to tease too much, but I think one of the things
I really like the way Cyril is talking. I keep saying this. Cyril sounds like my DAO administrator. He sounds like the DAO administrator speaking to me, a community manager, speaking to you, a community manager. He sounds like a real person. He doesn't sound like he's on a publicity tour. He doesn't sound like he's trying to convince anyone of anything. He's just speaking about what he's been doing, what his rationale is, what his thoughts are. And that's what's real about this. That's what's really going to build that trust and faith.
We've discussed in a retrospective as well as some stuff has been working behind the scenes, is I don't think the way our budget is structured, you know, the 9 buckets you see on the website, I don't think they're optimal in provoking a diversity of SIPs. You know, we could have different category where that are more obvious to people. And my objective with these new categories is simplification and also getting more diversity in the type of SIPs we're going to receive. So I'm working on that behind the scenes, something that, you know, just learning from what happened with our existing category and trying to do better. And maybe in 2026, I do something even different. But, you know, that's a proposal that will be put forward to the community, debated, discussed, and voted upon. I'm really looking forward to the feedback of the community on this one, too. We will pay attention, and if it has to be adjusted, we'll adjust it accordingly.
What he is referring to there is when they did the new SIP guidelines, and I spoke about this in the very beginning on the Road to the DAO. Let's look here, where they talked about right here, October 14th, new SIP submission guidelines, see Sandow episode 35, where they reduced the number of budget categories that you could apply for from 8 to, I believe, 4. So they almost slashed it in half. So of the 8 categories that you could apply to, you could only apply to 4 now. And he went into some detail about that, how that happened because some of them were earmarked for Sandbox DAO, for Sandbox Game Company alone, like staking. And so did it make sense to allow the community to apply for them anymore? His opinion was no. At the time, I wasn't sure what I thought about that. The more I learned about how these SIP categories came to be, why they still exist, and what he's looking to change them to, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he has kind of a more strategic view there than I do.
Yeah. All right. I mean, the only other update that I can think of, and I'm sure we're probably forgetting a half a dozen, but, you know, stay tuned. We are working on staking. I think we're going to address that a little bit further, because that was brought up as a community concern in that poll with 371 participants, is that staking, sand that is in staking is not eligible as VP or voting power right now. And that is being addressed. So I'm going to do a couple quick reminders, and we'll just segue back into staking under the topic of community concerns carrying on from episodes 1 and 2. But quick reminders, I already said, if you hold Sander Landrieu in the DAO, you could vote, you could delegate your voting power, or you can author SIPs. So kick around some ideas, get on the forum, encourage your friends who are building, playing, investing in the sandbox to get in there and you know, join the discussion. That's really on all of us. Check out those new SIP submission guidelines. I told you sandboxdao.com/guidelines. Check out the how to delegate YouTube video. It's really super easy to delegate that voting power. And of course, if you aren't subscribed to this channel, jump down there, subscribe, hit the like button, follow us on X, engage with some tweets. We're all in this together, Sam fam. So, all right, community concerns. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 things outstanding from our list that we wanted to address with everybody. There's staking, there's DAO operating in the gray area landscape, the language barrier that we're seeking to overcome on multiple fronts, as well as what we already mentioned, just low participation levels and how we want to address that in 2025. Mm-hmm. So let's take it from the top. Staking, some kind of update on resolution there.
Yes, staking is taking a long time to figure out, to be honest, but we're hoping this will be something that will be released next year. We're working with the Sandbox behind the scene. The Sandbox is managing the smart contract, so we have to collaborate with the blockchain team at the Sandbox. Shout out to them if they're listening.
I didn't know that. I did not know that the DAO admin team had to work with the Sandbox game company because they're the blockchain team that manages smart contracts. Makes sense now that he says it like that. I didn't realize it at the time.
And this is something that they have to be available for us as well, right? So it's obviously all.
So that's a code word. That what that means is it's difficult to find time for the DAO admin team to link up with the blockchain team to discuss how to make that happen. That's what that means with it's challenging. They're really busy, that sort of thing. That's usually code word for we want to meet with them more to try and figure this out, but we're not able to always meet with them because of their busy schedules.
These guys, they have a...
And as a program manager, as a product manager, that happens to you all the time with your stakeholders. You have to constantly coordinate schedules to make sure that you can do that. And when you don't, then you don't make the progress that you're looking to make toward your product or service.
They're very busy. They have a job, but we nevertheless need them. So we've been making progress. So I'm hoping we'll get this live by the end of, next year, beginning of.
What that means is they're making progress, but they're making slower progress than they want to make. That's what that translates into.
Next year. So finally, we can include the staking in the voting power. How it's going to be calculated, though, will be part of the SIP. You know, how staking is valued will be part of the SIP, but I'm looking to value two things, the amount of sand being staked and the duration of these sand. So we're looking for clever mechanism that we believe are as fair as possible to reward the people that are with the sandbox on the long run, right? So that's why it's also a bit more complex, not just, you know, including a smart contract in the snapshot, you know, framework. It's a bit more, they're trying to do this right, but that's why it's taking a bit longer, but hang in there. And that's something we would be very proud of. After delegation, this will be our second significant project that will be delivered, you know, listening to community's feedback.
I laugh there because you say it's harder than it seems, because like my first thought was like, man, isn't everything like,
right.
Whenever we try to allocate some time to do something, like everything right. takes twice as long as you think it's going to. That's probably why a lot of products teams never put dates on things, right?
Probably. If you look at it from the top, from the high vantage point, it looks...
That is true. That is one of the reasons why you don't put dates on your... But when you're held to a community standard like this, you've got to bite the bullet and go do it. Yes, you're going to disappoint some people by not being able to meet all of your objectives. However, it's more important that you say, this is the aim, this is the target we shot for, we missed it, here's our new target, then not communicate that target at all. That's the worst possible case.
It's easy, but as soon as you get into the detail, okay.
That's fine. The devil is in the details, right? Yeah.
Correct.
All right, so we're going to move on from staking. Ask any questions you guys want in the forum. That's the place. You can tag me in there, come to MC.
Right.
So
I think we should start a thread at some point about staking. It'd be good to get the community's sentiment or ideas or whatever on the matter. I think there will be a thread anyway, because it's part of the process. Every time there's a new SIPA, there's a thread associated to it. But now that we've mentioned that we're working on it multiple times, I mean, if people want to...
And they did start the thread. So check out staking. Just put in the keyword staking in the forums. You'll find it. I just submitted a post earlier today about a formula I thought up about it. But if you have thoughts on it, go ahead and put that in there. And we'll help the DAO admin team think through this.
Start a discussion around staking. We will be happy to jump in there with you guys.
Yeah, that's great. I made a note. I'm going to open that staking thread and see if we can get that conversation started. Because you know that's anything that we're doing is in as many ways as possible reflective of what it is that the broader community desires. Yeah. So I mean, those conversations are so important. Otherwise, you know, we're kind of just shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
So. All right, I'm going to move on. DAO operating in the gray area landscape. So some of this was addressed in episode 2 where we connected, so people can jump back onto that past podcast. Tell me more, though.
Yeah, well, so the DAO is operating under a foundation, which is Cayman Base, as described in SIP 2. And it comes with a series of guidelines that we have to follow. And it's not that easy to navigate that space. It's not like this. This is not like a corporation. This is not like a foundation exactly in the international sense of the term. It's a Swiss foundation. Not a Swiss foundation, a Cayman foundation. And it comes with its load of, you know, guidelines. And that's why the lawyers of the DAO are helping us navigate.
You're going to do a podcast episode on this? About a week ago, I just finished reading through all the Cayman Islands business law, the Cayman Foundation's law, a lot of different law. For the Cayman Islands to understand what that means that Cyril just said. So I'm going to be doing an episode on that, kind of a deep dive into what it all means, break it down. And that way I can just for myself understand what it is that the DAO admin team is facing. There are a lot of guidelines they have to follow, specifically things like you have to be certified by a central board within the Cayman Islands. So in order to do a lot of the stuff for a foundation, that the Sandbox Foundation is, you have to have this license. And with this license comes all these different requirements and can't do business without it. It's a whole thing, but I'm going to explain it in a podcast episode coming up about the Sandbox DAO Foundation.
But frankly, it's such a moving environment. Like we saw what happened with the Lido DAO. The problem that was with the Lido DAO is that it was not a wrap DAO. It was not covered by its foundation, something we have in our DAO. But because we have that, it comes with a, you know, it comes with a certain baggage. Like we have to have a supervisor or a director, as it's all described in SIP 2. So I think eventually you and I will probably reconnect, Bobby, as soon as I get more. I need to work on some materials to try to explain better what it means. Like I necessarily cannot do it like off the cuff right now. I would like to spend some time and structure my thoughts to really convey it in a more simplistic way.
I'm doing the same thing. I originally expected to do this episode last week, but it was so enormous and complex that I have to also structure my thoughts. I'm having difficulty because of how big it is and how connected it is with this body of law meets that body of law, but then references this third body of law, which references a fourth body of law. There's all these different like interconnected links that I'm trying to organize in a way that's clearly understood. So I get where he's coming from.
Your way, but eventually we touch based on that. But I just wanted to say that sometimes if you're not satisfied with the way we answer questions, or if we're not necessarily answer them in the most direct way, it's because this is tricky to get answers and to get like black and white answers on all of that stuff, because this is a moving subject. This is an experiment. This is something that is constantly shifting. And with the election of Trump, you know, we know there's a lot of stuff that happens in crypto as well. So it's going to have ripple effects on how crypto is perceived and looked at in the regulatory broader sense of the term. So that's also going to change. So we constantly pay attention to these things.
Yep.
But yeah, I'll come back with something at some point. Yes,
we certainly will. And that's important context, that these are dynamic relationships that are constantly evolving, and also kind of sensitive topics that are related to the safety and security of DAO members.
Yeah, I'm gonna show you a little bit of what I'm referring to, so you can see what's coming up. All right, so right now this is just Sandbox Podcast X, but I've been stepping through this right here of reading through their body of law. And going through, I'm just going to flip through it, reading through what it is that's important for us to understand. You know, the Companies Act, the Foundation's Companies Law, the Companies Management Act. What is a Memorandum of Association versus a exempted company? What does a foundation company even mean? And what are the regulations that you have to abide by? It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. And that's what's keeping me from doing this so far, is because of just how much there is to know on the subject. And that's why when Cyril mentioned we have lawyers advising us, well, the reason why we have them advising us is because of how complex all this can be. So this is the sort of stuff that I'm going to be putting in front of you as a future episode. It's just taken a lot because of how many different rules there are to abide by.
And the ongoing sustainability of the DAO. So right. That's going to be part of an important and broader conversation. And when we say early next year, I mean, that's only 2 weeks away. So, you know, grateful for everybody's patience. But as we dial in exactly how to communicate about that in the most succinct and clear, transparent way, that'll be part of an important conversation in early January. It's just how the DAO is structured and how that is part of the safety, security, and sustainability. It's really those three big S's and structure. The structure of the DAO
and of its community, its member, and its the foundation people, us as an admin team, and it's the community, the three bodies basically that needs to be looked at.
Okay, so we're coming back to that. That's tabling it to be continued. Language barrier is another ongoing community concern. And again, just a reminder, what Cyril and I are going through right now is a continuation of episodes 1 and 2, where we're addressing the community concerns that were raised in that poll with 371 participants. So language barrier. So we've got regionally distributed delegates basically across the globe. That was one active choice that was made to start addressing this before we even released that poll.
Correct. Right. We've paid attention to have a good representation of our community across the globe. So if you look at this, there's never more than two people that are part of the same continent or country. And we're trying to that was a conscious choice when we created the delegate. Like when we interviewed them and we went through this whole process with them. This was an active choice to make sure we've got that representation, because we want to have everybody feeling represented. We want to have everybody that feels like they can make a sip. And you know, if this is always the same cluster of people, you know, trusting all of the conversation and everything, then you can exclude another portion of the population. And we don't want to exclude a portion [S2] Right. [S1] Of the population. And actually what the poll showed us is like there's a huge portion of us of the community that is in Asia. And it's [S2] Yeah. [S1] I don't think the discussions on the forum are really representing the amount of the people that we have in those regions of the world.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's mostly because they're not able to speak their native language. So if you go into the Sandbox game Discord and you scroll down, you'll see all of the country-specific languages. You'll see a lot of names there that you don't see elsewhere because they feel more comfortable. I think it's because they feel more comfortable speaking there than they do English elsewhere. So not surprisingly, true.
So it's our job to try to find a way to reach that pool of people, that pool of talent. And so that's a challenge. That's something we're actively working on, starting with translation. The very first step was to translate the website in as many languages as we can. I think today we've got simplified and traditional Chinese, French, Turkish, Korean, Thai, I believe, in English, of course. So we're already translating the website across the board.
That's awesome.
In Japanese.
I don't know how to translate conversation off the cuff on the forum. I don't think that's possible, but at least everybody should make an effort to speak in English. And then we rely on individual Google Translate or your preferred AI assistant. But I think we're trying to remove those barriers as much as we can. That's for sure. We are conscious of that. And we're actively working at least on the website. On the stuff we can do, we do. But we're also relying on any ideas to do this better. Like, for example, you know, having captions on these conversations, Bobby, is an important point. So these captions are easier to translate. You know, whatever.
That's one thing I might do on my podcast if we get funded on the Sandow Podcast SIP is add captions because of how much easier it is to follow along, not just as an English speaker, but I can only imagine if you don't hear English very well and you see and you can read it, then you're able to follow along a lot better. It just seems like it's better all around. So I'm happy to, I think I might incorporate that.
Whatever, you know, we are looking forward to your ideas as well to be as inclusive as we can of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Always open to community suggestions anywhere you want to give them. We're working on a process for AI interpretation and then human checks of those interpretations for things like SIPs. On the forum, like Cyril alluded to there, you know, the standard across the globe is really to try and keep international communications in English since it's kind of the global language. I recognize my own privilege when I say that. I'm very lucky. And I'm the typical American that can't speak any other language other than American. And, you know, So whatever we could do to make that easier for people is going to be important. At the level of SIPs and at the level of the forum, the website is pretty robust already. But if there's other languages we want to add on there, you guys tell us. Also a demographics poll that will be live by the time that this episode is released as well. So that's just asking important questions of our community. Where are you from? What language do you speak? How you identify in other ways? So, you know, getting to know who it is, who makes up the DAO. Is going to be important, especially as we move on to this last bullet here. Low participation. This low participation might be a product, at least in some regards. Some percentage of the low participation is because people aren't seeing their native language, and it's hard to communicate on forums. Yeah. You know, most of the people that are active are native English speakers. There are some delegates who are putting things in their language and then translating it to English right on the live post. You're all free to do that as well. But I want to take
that's happening quite a bit actually, where you can see some delegates who are speaking in their native tongue and then translate it in English in that post. I translate that in English into mine, and then I translate my response into their language. To me, that is how we're figuring out how to DAO with each other. How do you DAO with a native French speaker who doesn't feel comfortable speaking English? Should I demand they speak in English? I don't think so. I think that's what translators are for. So we are trying to figure that out in real time right now. Within the SanFam community.
Take this opportunity as just a big call to action to all of our SanFam out there. Like, if you're watching this, if you've listened this far into Cyril and I rambling about our successes and failures and community concerns, then jump on.
These ramblings are important. These ramblings are how we organize our DAO. What sort of norms and what sort of culture do we create?
onto your socials. You know, make a call to all of the Sand fam, your friends who are investing, who are playing, who are building, and tell them that they're already a member of the DAO. Just get involved, jump on the forums and participate. We're going to have a lot of fun here next year. I'm going to make a shift towards marketing next year. I mean, my focus has been internal largely for, you know, my entire time with the team. It's been focused on building and strengthening relationships internally with the people who are active. Now it's got to turn outwards a bit into marketing and into growth. So any other thoughts on that, Cyril?
No, I think, looking forward for the participation on the SIPs that got released yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think it's the first SIPs that got released since delegation. Mm-hmm. And I know it took us a while to get there and that there was a lot of SIPs that got delayed because of it, but I'm mm-hmm. paying a close attention to participation rate on Snapshot. And it's already looking good, but we're not there yet. We still have to reach this quorum. Count looking at the delegates, but also...
And we reach quorum today. So SIP 16 and 17 reach quorum today, earlier this morning. We made it. And that is awesome. So we keep doing that, then quorum will be a thing of the past.
Looking at the community at large, like, right, guys, this has been a while that no SIPs have been put out for vote. So show your interest and go and cast your vote. Like, don't only count on the delegate. You also have a voice. So I'm looking at this stuff, and I don't think quorum is going to be a problem for those SIPs. And if it is, that would be a big L on us. But still paying attention, and I want these SIPs to succeed. Yeah. Whether it's a yes or a no, you know what I mean? I'm looking at purely...
I agree. Whether it's a yes or no, I want them to make quorum.
Participation rate.
Quorum. Yeah. All right. I feel like that's about it. I mean, we hit our updates. We dropped some reminders. We addressed those last four topics. I'm always going to do my best to respect everybody's time out there. I know it's our most valuable resource, all of us, well beyond any of the tokens we're stacking. So go spend some time with your family this holiday and enjoy the people who are giving you love. I'm one of them. Absolutely love all of the Sand fam out there. So keep coming back. We're going to keep digging in the sand. We're going to be here for you every week. We're always there on the forum just about every day. So you guys know where to find us, x.com/thesandboxdao. Forum.sandboxdao.com is where you can jump into those conversations. And that's it. Anything else?
Have a nice holiday, everybody. See you soon.
Happy Christmas. Keep digging.
Keep digging. All right. That was good. I really enjoyed that. So much so that I was drinking a nice winemaker's blend of Apothic Red. So super happy, super excited to hear all of those things. And I am just keep going. Please keep communicating the way you're thinking about how to run our DAO, the decisions you make. It's hugely helpful to understand that inner dialogue going on in the Sandbox DAO admin team. Okay, so we're finished with this episode for Sandbox Spaces. Please check Discord/#DAO discussion. There's also the sandboxdao.com forums. Check out #SandFam, #TheSandboxDAO, #TheSandboxGame. On YouTube, you have the Sandbox DAO at LanzerYT, which is the podcast you're listening to right now called SandDAO Podcast, and also at SandFam Cafe. On Mondays, you have Mochaverse Hall, which is Mondays. And you have on Saturdays, you have Bulls on the Block. Monday through Friday, you have Coffee with Captain. And Tuesdays is Whale Members. That's where SandFam will gather mostly. Thank you all for your time. Really appreciate you taking this time to hear my thoughts and my commentary on Digging in the Sand episodes 3 and 4 and the continued transparency I see from Kunta and Cyril. Thanks, SandFam.